As we come to the text this morning, I'm going to challenge you. Got a little. Is that better? Take it down a little bit more, Joe, if you would. I think our knobs got hit in transition last week. There we go. A little bit of challenge to you that we're going to take the scripture in various portions because it's a long text from 1 all the way down through verse 30. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So put your finger there in your bulletin or in your Bible and follow along in the outline as well. But as we come to spiritual gifts, it's vital that each of us acknowledge and know and examine ourselves to find our spiritual gift. Having a spiritual gift doesn't necessarily erase your responsibility to do the other things God has told us. Some people have the gift of evangelism. Well, if you don't have the gift of evangelism, that doesn't erase the fact that you're called to share your faith with those around you. It's just amazing to see those that God has given that gift do wonderful things with their ability to share their faith in powerful ways. So today, as we think of spiritual gifts, number one, I want us to acknowledge that our spiritual gift comes from God. It is a gift to us from God, and God uses us as he sees fit. So I want to start out, and I want you to think about what is, outside of the gift of salvation, the most memorable, greatest gift you can remember in your life. Now, I've had more time to think about this, so as I share mine, I want you to think about what that gift is for you. For me, now, I've been given a lot of wonderful things in my life. I want to acknowledge that. But this one always comes to my mind as soon as I think about the greatest gift. And it was a G.I. Joe gun that shot multiple projectiles and an airplane that was attached to a wire that you would stand there and fly in circles. Now, you say, what made that so great? Well, the fact was, the G.I. Joe gun came from my mom and dad, and the airplane came from my Uncle Bob and Aunt Jane. Well, still you say, well, what's that? I mean, they're special people. But what made it great was on Christmas Day, my father and my uncle got out in the street with me on Mississippi Avenue in Savannah, Georgia, and they put me in the middle and taught me how to fly that plane. So I stood there in the road flying this plane in circles. And they used the GI gun to shoot at the plane. And we did that for hours until finally, at about the time supper was called, all my projectiles with the GI Joe gun were gone. They had disappeared. And the airplane had a broken propeller and a broken wing. Okay? Now, what that led to was that my Uncle Bob and my dad had to go to whatever store they got those from and face the crowd and buy me a new one the next day because my mom and Aunt Jane was having none of that. But for me, it was a wonderful gift. And a big part of that gift was the involvement of my dad and my uncle spending Christmas afternoon just sitting there flying in a circle, shooting these G.I. Joe projectiles at this plane, spending time together. Now, the wonderful thing about spiritual gifts is the acknowledgement that God, knowing you, knowing your gifts and abilities, and knowing your place in the body of Christ, has given to you a spiritual gift to be used in the body of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to acknowledge that. Paul here, as he writes to the church in Corinth, wants them to understand their spiritual gifts. We're going to read the first 11 verses of this passage. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, and to another the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same, by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Fathers, we come to your word today, and we come to this portion in the letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, and his desire for them to not only understand the nature and the author of spiritual gifts that God has given to them, but also the love that God has instilled in them and in one another to receive those spiritual gifts. Lord, I pray in these moments that you would speak to our hearts, open up to us the message that we need to hear and the hunger that we need to have, not only to find our gifts, but to use them within the body of Jesus Christ. Use me as an instrument of your grace. Speak through me the power of your word. Remove error from my mind, that it was spoken today would be the truth of your word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as we remember the church in Corinth and their struggle with idols and with demonic elements, we remember that at one point in the letter that Paul talks about them sacrificing meat to idols, and that was sold in the marketplace. And for some of them, they had trouble with that because of what their relationship had been in their past to idols. And yet Paul says these are nothing. We also remember they're in the midst of a very demonic era in their lives. And this filled their life in so many ways. And that was in their past. But as they're becoming Christians and as they're growing in Christ, Paul wants them to appreciate these spiritual gifts and how God has manifested himself in them in a very specific way for them to understand and to apply. So he emphasizes the fact that God is the source of all gifts, spiritual gifts, in their lives. Now, what do we then know about spiritual gifts? Well, apparently, for the Corinthians, they were very ignorant about spiritual gifts. Their services were chaotic. We see in the correction that we see in the letters when people were fighting each other over expressions of prophecy and tongues. And the same sort of power struggle that came out in other areas existed in the area of gifts. Some people considered themselves greater because they had certain gifts as opposed to others. Now, what do we in 2026 know about spiritual gifts? Now, it's amazing to me that in the body of Jesus Christ, for many people, they know very little about spiritual gifts. I've come in contact with people that have been Christians for years, decades even, that really don't even acknowledge that they have a spiritual gift, didn't know they had one. We have others that have wrong ideas. Spiritual gifts has caused great dissension within the body of Jesus Christ in the struggle over how these gifts are exercised or what authority comes from those gifts. Confusion and drama, hard feelings within the body of Jesus Christ. This is in direct contrary to the purpose that God has in giving us these spiritual gifts. They are called to unify the body, for us to lean on one another. Neither of these ideas of not knowing what the gifts are or not understanding them are a positive thing in the body. Spiritual gifts are important in our lives and in the very life of the church. And we need to see that personally as well as corporately. Paul's focus on understanding these gifts and them being from God, and that the gifts will always, when used properly, glorify God and edify and worship God. The Holy Spirit is seen as the giver of these gifts. And it's amazing, the Holy Spirit and his desire in using those gifts, it is never focused on the Holy Spirit. Its focus is on Jesus Christ, is to glorify Jesus Christ within the body, for the body itself to worship and glorify him. It is important that we not be ignorant of spiritual gifts as well, because it is the key for us in doing God's work individually as well as corporately. Without God's gifts, we are powerless, except by human standards, and many times those fail. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, we read there, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We shall receive power through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So we see here in these first three verses the connotations that Corinth has, but we also recognize in our own lives the importance of our seeking and desiring spiritual gifts. Now we see in verses 4-7 the different gifts. There's three listed here. There are gifts, service, and working. There are categories of this. The gifts in the charisma, which means a free gift. Service is from the word that we get deacon or servant from. And working is the word of energy in working in the body of Christ. Think about it this way. All real spiritual power is a gift from God, not earned. These gifts are to us in service to others, not to serve or puff up ourselves. And they aren't to be a show, but are designed and given to have a real effect in someone's life. That God uses us with the spiritual gifts He's given to us to encourage and empower brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So it's not that I want to have this gift or I want that gift. I don't know. I have a great appreciation for people who can play the piano and they can sing and write music. It's a gift that is almost a show gift, and you just look at them. But I found that many of them spiritually struggle deeply because they're so tied to that. And I have prayed at a piano, Lord, just give me the ability, right? If you'll give it to me, I'll use it every day to glorify you, right? My sister can play the piano beautifully. But the thing is, it took her about 6 or 7 years of piano lessons and many hours of practice every single day to be able to do that. Steve Lawson didn't have the discipline to do that, and God knew that in doing that for me. But the reality here is a desire to do that in us. We see in verses 8 to 10 examples from the Holy Spirit in this. Let me reread these real quickly here. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So we see here the examples in Paul's writing here of the Holy Spirit giving these gifts. Now, wisdom is knowledge applied. The ability to apply knowledge in day-to-day life. Wisdom is God-given ability to apply knowledge in a given situation. I've seen men and women that have this gift, that all of a sudden they come to a place and in their wisdom, they pull from God's word, they pull from experience, they pull from personal desire, personal life, and are able to apply those things in the direction there. Now, I've known, don't take this the wrong way, I've known some very knowledgeable men in Bible school and seminary that couldn't change a tire. Okay? I mean, they didn't have common sense ability. They could quote scripture, they could exegete both Hebrew and Greek and do all these great things in that element, but they didn't have the ability to bring that to common everyday life. This idea of wisdom is that bringing that into everyday life. Secondly, we see knowledge is the ability to explain difficult things and know something you couldn't have known otherwise. We see this as an example with Jesus at the woman at the well in Samaria, that He revealed in her life what was holding her back in her marriage and the way she was treated by men and in her life. We also see that in our lives when God reveals to us and just seeing someone and acknowledging specific things. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We see faith, healing, miraculous powers and prophecies in 9 and 10. Faith is really the supernatural ability to trust in God. It's experiencing that faith. And people have that ability, and it draws us into having a greater faith. We see in some sign gifts, the gift of healing, miraculous powers. These are gifts that we see in the first century where God expounded the gospel that drew people there. Now, there are those who question these in tongues if those are still active today. And they're Westminster Confession, it talks about these ending after the first century when the apostles had passed and a change of the church. It varies within the body in different things. I can say that I have, early in my Christian life, I have prayed for the gift of tongues as I was missing something. You know, God's never given that to me. I have traveled all over the world. I have seen tongues in foreign countries expounded somewhat to Scripture, but I've never seen tongues exhibited in my life exactly how I believe Scripture lays it out to be. Does that mean it's dead? I don't know. I still struggle with that. The gift of healing. Certainly we do not see, I don't believe, in our current time, those who have a gift of healing that are able to call on it by their will. Do I believe God still heals? Yes. I have seen that. I have seen God miraculously touch people that are at the point of death. And when I was in Honduras one time, I didn't see the miracle, but I followed the week after. We went back to a church where a young child was deaf, and God restored their hearing. A week later, I went back, and they were still hearing. You know, and that was to the glory of God. It happened in a very spiritual way. It was not an individual puffing up in power of that at all. So we see those gifts. In terms of prophecy, we see a very distinction here. Prophecy of the Old Testament, where it's miraculously revealing the future in God's present and announcing God's prophecy for that. In the New Testament, I think we see prophecy more in an element of teaching and expounding God's truths and God's word. So all of these, we see an example of the Holy Spirit giving to the body of Christ. These are God working within the body of Christ, exhibiting gifts in specific ways. In verse 11 here, I think we see a very key part and message. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For the Corinthians, and I think for many people today, we tend to put value on gifts. You know, the gifts of service. Well, it's great to have that one, but I don't want it because it causes me to work too much. You know, we'd rather have the gift of teaching or the gift of preaching or maybe the gift of singing or playing the piano, you know, those type of things. We put values on them. But where would we be without all the gifts? Where would the body of Christ be without all these gifts? Do we decide which gifts we get or who gets what gifts? We simply can't take credit for that in our lives. But we edify God in what he does. More than even Paul stresses that the use of the gifts should not focus on the individual at all, but on the corporate body. I shouldn't shine because the Holy Spirit has given to me a certain gift, but I should just rejoice that what I do fits in what you all do, and together we do God's work. We see the body working together. Our gifts and ministries support and encourage each other in the church. I remember in one of our churches, we had a lady that had been through a great deal in her life, in her relationship with her mom, and they had been estranged for a long time, and even at that point, still somewhat estranged. But it had given to her an ability to help people that were going through that. And this young lady came into our church, and she was right in the middle of that in her new Christian life. And one Sunday, as we were sharing, this lady stood up and shared that. And almost immediately, right after worship, this lady took a beeline straight to that girl. And she came alongside of her, and she put her arm around her, and she encouraged her, and she helped her through that process. That gift of taking that from her life and imparting it to another person's life to help them through. To see that in the body of Jesus Christ, to see that love of the Spirit that draws brothers and sisters together in weakness and in strength to bring forth unity. It's a wonderful thing. So all the gifts for the church are for edification and for the same purpose. We're going in verse 12 down to verse 14 here. It says, For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The reality of this is the Spirit of God in the giving of the gift, giving of gifts, unifies in Christ. Our bodies all work together. Now, this past week, I was at work, and I really don't even know how I did it. But I hit the very end of my nose, okay? Just the very tip of my nose, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, I kind of rubbed it and kept working. That night when I laid down, guess what was throbbing? My nose. Guess what it affected? My ability to sleep, my ability to relax. It affected my entire body. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever hit your finger? The only thing it affects is your finger, right? No. Within the body, we are unified in that our bodies work together. When one hurts, it affects all the body. In Christ, we are one, Jew, Greek, slave, free men. When I was traveling around the world as an executive director, I would go to a country and I did not know the language. I have to confess, I did do some cultural study to understand somewhat of the distinctive differences between Americans and Hondurans or Russians or whatever. But when we came together in worship, the unity that was there, to be able to stand there and preach the gospel and have an interpreter interpret that, and to see across the body of Jesus Christ the fellowship of Americans and Canadians and Christian and Hondurans or Africans or whatever was a wonderful thing. One time when I was in South Africa, we went out in the country with a group to a pod area, and we were in this literally a cinder block church, mud block church. And it reminded me of the book of Acts when Peter was preaching and they were hanging out the windows. Okay? Now, realize as we began, a friend of mine, Brent Ross, was going to be the speaker that day. And the pastor came and said, "You need to appreciate something." He says, "Everybody here is going to be fine with it, but you need to understand it." He says, "If you give a 20-minute sermon," he said, "that will be great in your congregation," or a 30-minute or a 40-minute sermon. He said, "There's going to be somebody standing in front of you interpreting that." He says, "But there are 7 different dialects in this room. So when you speak it, that person's going to speak it in Portuguese, and then there are going to be at least 5 or 6 interpreters going to have to carry that 3. So your 20-minute sermon just went to be about 1 hour and 40 minutes. He says, "We're all fine with that." He said, "I just want you to appreciate that. And let me tell you what, it was hot. This sanctuary might have fit 70 or 80 people. And they were hanging out the windows. Like I say, it reminded me of the book of Acts when Peter was preaching and they were outside and they were hanging in the windows and one fell. And we saw a gift of healing there. But that's what it was like. And we were all together in one accord. 7 different dialects. Let me say one thing I have learned about speaking through an interpreter. What you say and what he says may supposed to follow the same line, but the Holy Spirit does a lot of interpretation in that as well. But to see the body of Christ working that way is a powerful, wonderful thing. And it's like that within our gifts as well, that God works these things out in a very powerful way. So we see the body being unified. All our body parts are different, but all work together to perform. Do you realize what happens if you lose your thumb? Your grip strength, your ability to grip and to do things is totally gone. What about if you lose your big toe? Walking becomes a whole different thing. You have to go through therapy. All that changes. It's the same way in the body of Jesus Christ, that it changes so much. And the reality that we have to face that. We need to be content with our part. Verses 14 down to 18 here. Picking up again in verse 14. "For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chooses." To be content with where God has put us. Finding our place and realizing that God has put us there. It is important to discover your spiritual gift. I think this is a quest. It may or may not align itself to your pre-Christian strengths. God may deliver something to you as a new believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, where He imparts to you a specific gift that's going to be used within the fellowship of the believers that you're with, that you may not even recognize prior to receiving Jesus Christ. Seeing God's hand in our lives, seeing and appreciating others in the body of Jesus Christ and how God uses them, and to be thankful for those. Again, so many of us wish for other things, but discovering that spiritual gift is very important. God arranges the body. Now, I want you to imagine as God formed man in the dust of the earth, and God is omniscient, and I'm sure God had a plan, but as He's looking at man's face, as He's trying to figure out, now, does the nose go pointing down or pointing up? If it's pointing up, it might smell better, but you might drown in a rainstorm. What about the arms? Should the arms be down closer to the ground? You don't know how many times as 6'3", I wish that I didn't have to bend so far to pick things up. But my feet wouldn't have done a lot of good in my shoulders, or I'd have a headache from walking on my head all the time. God had a plan. The question comes, are we willing to submit to God's purpose in our lives, to seek and desire those gifts He has given to us and to be blessed in that? God's gifting and placing us where He wants us to be in the body of Christ. Even right now in our fellowship with our 50, 60, 70 people that are a part of this time, God has blessed us with spiritual gifts to minister to one another. Do you see that? Do you see that in your brothers and sisters? I remember growing up when I was probably in my early teens, I was cutting grass for one of the widows in our church and some others in the neighborhood, and Miss Hardison was her name, and as I was cutting grass for her, I was feeling the call to ministry, and I remember her saying to me probably a Friday or Saturday when I was over cutting her grass, she said, Steve, because I'd read scripture in church, I'd done other things, she said, I see God's hand in your life, and He has something special. That meant something to me. This is a matriarch of our church. She saw God's hand. It's important that we acknowledge one another, acknowledge the gifts God has given to us, to encourage each other in that. The reality of that facing in our lives is a powerful thing. We need each other, picking up here in verse 19. If we all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we see less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpressable parts are treated with the greatest modesty. And then verse 24, which our most presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. The reality is we need each other. Realizing and accepting and appreciating each other is a powerful thing. We need to acknowledge those who have the gift of service, that are willing to work behind the scenes and very little praise. We as brothers and sisters in Christ need to encourage them and thank them for their service. I remember that at one point in our ministry, we were going to a new church. And in doing that, I met up with a guy. And John was unique. Okay? He's one of those guys that was very hard to work with because he was always running ahead doing his thing. Okay? And there were many times I would have to call him and pull the rein, pull him back some. And John just kept going forward and hitting brick walls and causing some problems. But John had a gift of making sure every person that came into our church felt welcome. Nobody got out of that church without John shaking their hands and giving them a hug and encouraging them. And John went on to establish a ministry of helping those that were down on their luck and reaching out in different ways. And even in that, He and I had times to work together. But he was a gift from God that was a pain. Okay? But I loved him. And when he graduated out and began his ministry, we missed him greatly in our fellowship. Because he led a wave of hospitality that God had blessed him with. Wonderful thing. The reality that we are different. I was sharing with Joe this morning. I was going to include him in my message. Joe and I think differently. Sometimes people would say, Joe thinks and Steve moves. Joe's much more analytical. He comes to a problem in a very different way than I do. And believe it or not, you've experienced the blessing of that. In our times of worship, God has gifted him in certain ways, and he's gifted Steve in certain ways. I acknowledge that, and I praise God for that. Joe doesn't make me mad that he thinks different. Sometimes I wish I could think like Joe. Sometimes my wife wishes I could think like Joe, probably. All right? But we see in that, as he speaks here, in the honorable and the modest parts, we need to be careful in all those things. For John, I had to be careful not to squelch his great gift of hospitality and my desire to be the pastor. I had to be careful in those elements. God in this, in his working in division for the sake of unity in the body. Imagine if we were all alike. Everyone here, all of you thought like Steve, or all of you thought like Joe, or all of you thought like somebody else. We wouldn't be a very good church. We would have a problem. When I was taking classes in college, I did a church growth class, and there was a part of the book we were reading that called for a homogeneous unit is the church. A homogeneous unit is the fact that we tend to congregate with those like us. And it said this was happening in the Church of America, which basically meant people who lived alike and thought alike all were in the same church, economically, socially, racial, all these things. But the reality was that wasn't a healthy church, because we do need each other. We greatly need each other. We need the old and the young, the poor and the wealthy, the young believer and the mature believer, striving together, pulling us towards that. You don't know how many times that I've had people come to me and say, we need a larger youth group, or we need a senior citizens work on the same day. Because why? Because that was their focus. When I pastored at the Advent Christian Church at the Village, we had 27 different denominations in that church, because our community was such where people would come and buy a home, and they would become a part of a retirement community. And I had one pastor come through that was thinking of moving. He said, how in the world do you preach to 27 different denominations? As I preach the Word, and the Holy Spirit deals with the differences. But what was great, and again, I had a steady line of retired missionaries, retired pastors, coming into my office and saying, Pastor, I know what the church needs. And they would give me this whole ministry description. And I would say, great, God brought you here, start it. No, I'm retired. I don't find retirement in Scripture at all. God opens a door to you. He's calling you to work through it. The reality in the body, the division is for unity's sake, growing together. We need our differences to pull us together in very specific ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24, we read just a second ago, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's a beautiful thing to see in the body of Jesus Christ. To see the body when a member of the body in the local church is going through a difficult time, for the congregation to come around them and support them. It's a beautiful thing. And then to see one that all of a sudden something wonderful happens, the body comes together and gives great support and encouragement and excitement for it. God composed to compound, to assemble a unified whole by mixing and combining different parts. I look at us here today. Guess what? I see some differences in you and me. Look at the person next to you and you could say, you're different. We are. But God has brought us together in a powerful way. Not dividing us, but showing a dependency on one another, to show care for one another, to attend to, and to be concerned about. I love this in there in verse 26. If one suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Diversity of members fulfills the will of God in the body of Jesus Christ. God appoints us to different roles within the body. And finally, this final section here, verse 27 to 30. All the gifts are useful and equal. Everyone has a gift, but no one has all the gifts. Beginning in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, all are not prophets, all are all teachers. Do all work miracle? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do we all speak in tongues? Do we all interpret? The reality is we are all given various gifts, but God has put these together in His will and purpose. For in that diversity of membership fulfills God's will within the body. God appoints different roles in the church. The problem comes, I think, many times when people come in and they're not looking for God's gift for them. They're not looking for God's place. I've been preached this my entire ministry. 20% of the congregation does 80% of the work. 80% of the congregation watch the 20% of the congregation do all the work. That is not God's plan. Where would we be if each of us found our gift and plugged that in and ministered in the body of Christ? We are all appointed to various different roles, verses 29 and 30. I love this analogy. I found it this week. It's a football analogy, and I think it goes most all different game team sports. Football is a sport in which a team of skillful players work together under a knowledgeable coach, leading the team to accomplish the goal of winning the game by scoring more points than the other team. The team is stronger when each player understands their gifting and position and is actively involved in using their skills to better the team and work together to accomplish the goal. The coach puts the right player in the position and calling plays that he knows will accomplish the goal of winning the game. Church is a gathering of skilled people working together under a knowledgeable Lord, leading the church to accomplish the goal of spiritual maturity and accomplishing the Great Commission. The church is stronger when each person understands their gifting and position and is actively involved in using their skills to better each other and work together to accomplish the goal. The Lord puts the right people in the position that He knows will accomplish the goal of making disciples. We are all on the field together playing. No one is on the sidelines waiting to play. We all bring different skills to the team and need to be actively using our skills for the betterment of the team and the goal. We are all arranged on the field as a team by our mighty God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, who knows the best and the best setup for success. Ours is to surrender to His leading. Where does this bring us? Gifts are good for all of us. We all need to seek and use our gifts. The acronym there that you have is GIFT. And the first one is gifts are good for everyone. We all need to seek and use our gift within the body. To seek it. I don't know how you may have in your early life found your gifts. We had a spiritual gift survey. We had a booklet, had about 50 questions you went through and you answered different questions. In the end, you brought all of the answers together and you fell in various categories and it would talk about your gifts. And guess what? At the end of the survey, it said, We don't know if these are your gifts. It's now your job to pray and for God to reveal where he wants you to be. There are many other ways of doing that, but they're good for each of us to know. The I here is to intend our gifts for blessings. We to show love to one another in using these gifts. Even the gifts of administration, in working in other people's lives, it needs to be underlined by love. So we care for one another. The F here is that we are faithful to our calling, to see how God has blessed us and use our gift to glorify him. Do you remember where we started? The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts, empowers us in the gifts. But the Holy Spirit's desire is not to be glorified, but to seek that the gifts are glorifying Jesus Christ in a very specific way. And finally, the T, togetherness is the result of shared ministry. Seeing the family of God working is a beautiful thing within the body of Jesus Christ, a powerful thing. We praise God for that in a very real way. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit might speak to us. As we sit in this gathering here, in this sanctuary, to worship and glorify you, it is our desire in all our voices and all of our actions and all of our deeds to acknowledge you as God. But Lord, we ask that we also would acknowledge you as controller, the giver of gifts, and that we fall before you fully humble. Lord, use me as you see fit. Lord, that we are ready to serve the body of Jesus Christ. As we look at one another in the love of Jesus Christ, may we see opportunities to minister to one another in a very real way. Use us now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we'll be coming to the